Okay, I can start in chapter 23, but I kind of want to back up just a little bit. Just so it says, and the king, and you're thinking, king who? Well, okay, Josiah by name, and it's the last of the good kings. We talked about that. He loved the Lord with his whole heart, and he was there's none like him. And of course, he's this after him, it just goes from bad to worse. They find the book of the law. He reads it. He rends his clothes. Anguish of soul. And verse 14 in chapter 22. So Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Akbor and Shaphan and Asaiah went unto Huldah the prophetess, because the king sent him there. The wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvah, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Hey, I don't change the Bible, she's saying. It's written, it's going to happen. Aren't you glad? Well, not for destruction, but you're happy that God's word means what it says and says what it means. If you can trust it for the destruction of Jerusalem, you can trust it for your salvation. And when God says, I will never leave you or forsake you, you know what he's trying to get across to you? That he'll never leave you or forsake you. And you can take his words, I'd say to the bank, but banks fail. God's word never fails. So she's prophesying and giving King Josiah the answer, but yeah, it's going to happen. It's bad. It's as bad as you want it to be. Because they have forsaken me, they have burned incense on other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of the hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. A bridge too far. And I warned us. When is God, okay, enough's enough, that's it. You say, well, 70 times 7, he prescribes to us. Oh, listen, we've used that up. First week we get saved. Don't keep. But he's gracious. He's slow to anger. But there's a time when he says, okay, that's it. There's a time when everyone in the ark is in the ark and God closes the door. There's a time when he's going to turn to his son and say, go get him. And after that, look out for a Christ-rejecting world. It's written. The same thing is written here that Huldah says, yeah, it's not going to go well. And this is the reason. Verse 18, but to the king of Judah which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thy heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord. How does she know? She wasn't there. When thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants, and that they should be a desolation, a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Well, how does she know any of that? Because she knows God, and God told it to her. She's prophesying. She's a prophet, a prophetess. She's the real deal. She wasn't in the room when any of that went on. They sent it to her, and they give her all this report. Well, he ripped his clothes, and he got, I don't think so. I think she heard it from the Lord, and she says, okay, I like your response, God saying. I saw you rip your garments, tear your heart, as it were. I saw your tears. You know, God says that he saves all our tears in a bottle. We've cried about things we don't even remember. But he hasn't forgotten any of our tears. And here he sees this man, he sees his heart, and he says, yeah, I like that. I've been waiting for you to show up for, well, 300 and, I think it's 325 years, but we'll get to that. Because your heart was tender, you wept, you tore your clothes. I have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. We'll read about him tonight. It doesn't look like peace to me, and we'll talk about that. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Now, what happens? Great reforms. Josiah just leaps into action. And we'll read it. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up unto the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him. How many men and people is that? A lot. I don't know, tens of thousands anyway, right? Hundreds of thousands? I don't know. And the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. Okay, before we get started today, he says, let me just read something for you. And he reads the, did he read all five books of the Pentateuch? Did he read the book of Deuteronomy? We don't know. Anyway, you sit, you relax, we're going to be here a while. You know, if people complain about me going over 5 minutes, this was maximum, okay? I don't know. And I shouldn't say like that because people rarely say anything to me because I don't go over very often, as you well know. And even when I do, it's generally like we're talking about 1, 2, 3 minutes. So I'm very conscientious of the time. Was he there? Here? Conscientious of time? Said, yeah, yeah, we're going to be here a while. You got to listen to this. But you got to know this, he's saying. He's the king. He's the shepherd of the people. And he says, this is where we're messing up. This is what you don't know. But let me help you out. From now on, you're going to know it. And he read all the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by the pillar. And is this, by the way, he's leading the nation in reforms, in revival. Outside the word of God? Oh, no, that's ridiculous. No such, listen, if you're entertaining the thought that we can have revival without rediscovering the word in a very real and tangible way, just shake your head to that idea falls right out. It's impossible. It's impossible to be revived outside of the word of God. And the king stood by a pillar, made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul. To perform, it's one thing knowing, and I hope you know the word of God. You're the ones that know people. I think you know it better than many. It's one thing to know, oh, it's another thing to perform. And a lot of us, We applaud the fact that we know something, and we're like, well, I know that. I know that. Well, I know that. So are you doing it? That's the question. And I'm not, as for show hands, I'm not trying to, where I sit, I'm thinking you're doing a lovely job, but I don't know. In that place where only you and God go, am I obedient to the word as I understand it? Because that's what, at the end of the day, God wants obedience. All the hat and to perform, I'm in the middle of verse 3, the words of this covenant that were written in this book, and all the people stood to the covenant. Stood to the covenant, we agree. Amen. Yes. Like if there was a document that all signed their name, if they could write. Yes. Stood to the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for the host of heaven, and he burnt them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. Oh, he's zealous. Do you have something in your life that needs burning, that needs carrying away, that needs, like, I'm not going to give myself a path back to it? I was, in the early days of the church, I used to say something like, yeah, you know, guy who smokes dope every day and is living with his girlfriend, you know, and but he says he loves the Lord. So a guy came to me and he said, I smoke dope every day and I live with my girlfriend and I keep feeling like you're talking to me. And I'm saying, I didn't know either one of those things. But he said, yeah, I know I shouldn't be doing that, either one of those things. And, you know, he kind of made a slight, like, okay, I'm going to reform. I'm not going to do it anymore. So he called me up one time. He says, I'm done with the marijuana. I want you to come over and take all my marijuana plants away. So I called Ken. I said, is this legal? Can I do it? Am I going to get I know I'm going to drive off of his place. And the first thing is the blue light's going to flash, and I'm going to be arrested for possession. And back when I concerned myself, you don't get arrested for it's illegal to possess drugs in Maine. You know that? Illicit drugs. And at that time, marijuana is one of them. But they weren't really. You know what I mean? If you have a whole lot and you're selling it, they might, you might get a $35 fine. It just, it just wasn't, it was a joke. And he said, yeah, just go in faith and just let God deal with the, I said, all right, that's a good word. So I went and I was driving and he called me up and he said, yeah, I got rid of him, don't bother. And I thought like, oh, you got rid of him, all right. And I never really felt that he did, you know what I mean? I don't know that. I don't know that I know that I know that, but in my spirit, I didn't feel like convicted that he got rid of him. You've got to be merciless with your sin. You've got to put it in a way that no, you know, you don't have access to it. This was their problem, idolatry. And he burnt and that's it. Took out of the temple all the vessels that were made for Baal, Baal worship in the temple. Can you imagine? And for the grove, again, the grove, phallic symbols, that was what was done at the high places. I always joke, shady activity, the grove, you know, it was past shady activity. It was all the worst depraved sexual practices. That's what that was all about. The grove in the house of God, yeah, and all the vessels for the Baal, for the grove, for all the host of heaven, what's that, zodiac and things like that, and he burnt them outside of Jerusalem in the fields of Kedron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. Where's Bethel? That's way up in the north. It's the south of the northern kingdom, but it was far away from him. I'm taking the ashes out of our kingdom. I'm not even leaving the ashes inside of Jerusalem, inside of Judea proper. That's zealous, okay? And he put down the idolatrous priests. That means slew. He didn't put them down like, okay, you're not going to be priests anymore. No, they died. That's what the covenant calls for. You teach or practice idolatry and it's found out, that's it. Well, you know, live and let live. This is, you know, we're a multicultural. Oh, no. This is Jerusalem. This is under the covenant. They just made a covenant. Oh, you want to lead the people in idolatry? Yep, you're all done. What was it? Stoning? That was what was called for. And I would guess, he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the city of Judah, in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the plants, and to all the heavenly host of heaven. So he killed all them groups of worshipers. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kedron, and burned it at the brook Kedron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder there upon the graves of the children of the people, specifically the children of those people, those idol worshippers. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites. Oh, I like this guy. Would to God that we break down the houses of the Sodomites. You say, Adam, live and let live. Not in Israel, and any move we make towards God, you know, and by the way, sodomites here has to do with false worship, not just people who practice homosexuality, okay? But beyond all that, it's forbidden in the law. He break down the houses of the Sodomites. The houses here are houses of worship. They're not homes. He break down the houses of Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba, and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. That's interesting to me. So you go into the gate of the city, and on the left hand there's this little incense place. And all. God knows where we're practicing our idolatry. He knows exactly what's going on. And what. It's almost like, what does God say? Oh, I didn't know that was there. Oh, that's interesting to me. No, he knows everything. Even so, he's even given us this little detail. Yeah, it's right there on a man's left hand as he enters the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley. So one thing after another, I don't care what kind of false worship you're involved in, he's defiling it. He's breaking it down, and he's making it impossible for people to worship there, and he's desecrating is the word. He defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. I don't know if any of you saw Expedition Bible. Any of you guys ever see that on YouTube? Write that down, Expedition Bible. I was watching it last night when I fell asleep at 8 o'clock. I'm ridiculous. I got up like 6:30, Sue's too. It was there's one, child sacrifice one, and it's real, and it's like legit, and he shows where it happened and what happened and all this stuff. Expedition Bible. You'll really like it. The man's a devout man, and it's all about archaeology and stuff. And you watch one, you'll be wanting to watch a lot of them. He's got probably 40 or 50 posts up there. He defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hammon, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. So not, I'm not sacrificing my children, and you're not sacrificing your children. This is a breath of fresh air. We love this guy. You want to go out and get a dog and name him Josiah? Or are you going to coach your next grandkid? Name him Josiah. I don't care if it's a girl or a boy. Just it's a good name. We love this guy. He's wonderful. He took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the son at the entering into the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire. And the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break them down from thence, and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption. See, they're on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption. What's the Mount of Corruption? It's the Mount of Olives. That's a national treasure. No, not when false worship is involved. Now it's the Mount of Corruption, it's called. The high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had builded for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abominations of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. Why did it take it this long? How come Hezekiah never did that? Huh? Why? What about Jehoshaphat? What about, you remember Hezekiah? He broke down even the high places. How come this is still around? We're talking Solomon, David's son. Well, that's got historical value. That should be in a museum, some would say. And Josiah, not my museum, not when I'm king. No way, no how. A national nothing. It's nothing to me. It was used for idolatry. We're getting rid of it. Is this doing anything for your faith? Because this is wonderful. I'm reading this, and this is wonderful for me. I'm telling you, this guy, I understand why God loves him so much. He's made a covenant with the Lord. He said, "You're the God. I'm worshiping you, and all the others. Oh, wait till I." And God's fury. It's a picture of God's fury poured out on all. Why isn't God a live and let live God? Why isn't God into multiculturalism? If you don't want to worship him, shouldn't that be okay? God says he knows that we become like the gods we worship. God never said, "I want you to sacrifice your children." Chemosh did, or allegedly. Some demon posing as Molech or Chemosh said, "Yeah, you sacrifice your kids to me, I'll bless you big, big time." God says, "I hate that. I hate that." And God blessed Josiah. He said, "I hate that too." Part of living and loving the Lord is loving the things that he loves and hating the things that he hates. Does God hate? If he loves you, he has to hate anything that would harm you, right? He break in pieces the images, cut down the groves, and fill their places with the bones of men. Again, desecration is the word. Moreover, the altar that was in Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel a sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he brake down and burnt the high place and stamped it small to powder and burnt the grove. So he's not in Jerusalem. Now he's not in Judea. He's not in the southern kingdom. Bethel is up in the northern kingdom. There's two shrines, remember? Dan and Bethel. The one at Dan we saw when we were over there. It's been unearthed. You can look it up on YouTube. It was a stark reminder to me that the Bible is true. If I was the president of Israel, that wouldn't be in a museum. That wouldn't be a thing that people came and look at. I would desecrate. I would grind that to small to powder like my boy Josiah did. We could take a picture and then hang the picture there that it used to be there, but nobody's going to be, because I think this is what makes God happy. God, we don't bow to idols. Even a good thing in our life that becomes a God thing, this is what I see happening more than anything else. We have a good thing, and it loses its shape, it loses its perspective, and it becomes the main thing. It becomes a God thing. A good thing becoming a God thing is a bad thing, and we have to get rid of that thing. I can't give you an example because I'll give you 1,000 examples, but it might not mean anything to you because each one of us individually, I got a hobby. I collect stamps. I don't know anyone who collects stamps. What a hobby. What kind of hobby is that? Anyway, so you collect stamps and it's wonderful and you think stamps are the best thing and you got this hobby. Is there a problem with that? As God is my witness, I don't think so. Unless it's a problem. Unless you make it a problem. It's all about, and your whole life is, I don't feed the kids. I'm behind in my rent, but I'm collecting this rare, you know, and my whole life is devoted to my hobby. Now, it's a good thing. A hobby is a good thing. What do you do? What is your hobby? I don't care if it's knitting. I don't care if it's stamp collecting. I don't care if it's bullfighting. Whatever your hobby is, it's you and God work out the details, whatever, right? And then it becomes too far. And then it becomes not a substitute for God. And our whole life is starting to gather around this hobby. It's not a good thing anymore. Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we need someone to come along and say, yeah, dude, you're losing your mind, you know. That's the benefit of fellowship. I don't know where I left off. Ground it to powder, burnt the grove. Okay, so he's up in Bethel now. That's what I meant to say. Okay, he's in Bethel. He's in the northern kingdom. But the northern kingdom is in Assyria. So they have some poor people, and you remember the Assyrian king took and brought other groups of people, and that's why they intermarried, and they were considered half-bred. So he goes up, listen, I know what you said about Israel. So not only in my kingdom, and I know you took the northern tribes away, but I still don't want idolatry happening. As Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchers that were there in the mount and sent and took the bones out of the sepulcher and burnt them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Do you have any idea what's being talked about there? Do you remember? You remember, right, Robert? Okay, let me jog our memory. And I know you know this because you're Wednesday night crew, but it's going to be on the radio, and there are going to be people who don't have the memory you have, so let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings 13. Behold, there came a man of God out of Judah, by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. Okay, we're talking about Bethel and the altars there, right? This is prophesied in the word of God. 1 Kings 13. And Jeroboam, you remember Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin? You remember that phrase, and how many times you saw it in Kings? 1 and 2 Kings. Jeroboam, good guy, bad guy. Way bad. It was the worship of Jehovah in a foreign and ungodly way. And it gave rise to all kinds of bad after him. He stood by the altar to burn incense. So he's in Jerusalem at the temple. No, he's at Bethel at the false altar that he erected. You remember he got the two golden calves. And he said, this is your gods, O Israel. You know, and he set up this false worship. So he's at Bethel, and this man of God, verse 1, came out of Judah. We get this prophet here. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. You say, you're kidding me? No. Is that amazing? Not for God, for us it might be. Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. Did Josiah know this? I don't think so. I don't think so. Maybe. Maybe. Because it looks like back in 2 Kings now, Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were in the mountain, sent and took the bones out of the sepulchre and burned them upon the altar and polluted it. According to the word of the Lord, is he obedient to God and he knew this prophecy? Maybe, but I think he's just, according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words, then he said, what title is that I see? Okay, what am I reading here? And they said, and the men of the city told him, it is the sepulcher of the man of God, which came from Judah, and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. Huh. So make of that what you will. Was he in on it? Well, the people who were with him knew what was going on. They knew of the prophecy, obviously. And he said, let him alone. Let no man move his bones. Why? He's on our team. Okay, he messed up. He listened to that old prophet and he died there. You remember God had told him, don't salute anyone. Don't come by the way you go up. Don't come the same way back. And don't tarry. Don't stay at any man's house or anything. And that old prophet said, oh yeah, the angel came and told me, yeah, you're supposed to eat lunch at my house. Remember that? Oh, and so he ended up dying, and then he was mauled by a lion, and the lion didn't eat him or the donkey. So we had the lion and the donkey and the dead prophet all on the road, and the old man prophet went and got him and buried him. And he buried himself, when he was buried, he buried himself right next to him. Why? During the resurrection, I think the first thing he wants to do is apologize. That's my guess, but who knows? And he said, let him alone, let no man move his bones, so let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. So the prophet that came out of Samaria, that's the old guy, and the one who came out of Judah, that's the young fella. So we're looking at, I think this is 325 years after that. God had been waiting for Josiah for a long time. Waiting because he was impotent to make it happen? No, I think because everyone has free will, and he knew that Josiah was going to do that. I don't think he made him do that any more than he makes you or I worship him. He loves obedience. He loves to be trusted. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. We just read that in the book of Job the other day, as we're going through, right? That meant a lot to me. There's no condition about following God. I'm serious about this. I'm not. There's no plan B. Josiah's all in, as we would say. That's what I want to be, all in. No plan B. No, let him alone. He's on our team. He's a good guy. 300 years later. And all the houses also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger. Josiah, all that were in the cities of Samaria, northern kingdom. Yeah, but my righteousness, my zeal for God is going past the border. All the houses also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the king of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. He slew all the priests of the high places that were upon the altars and burned men's bones upon them and returned to Jerusalem. So there's desecration and there's, oh, you want to lead the people in false worship? Don't you understand? They're already in captivity. They're already, there's no like a functional northern kingdom anymore, and you're still playing with these false gods. I'm sure there was a lecture involved too. He slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars. He burned men's bones upon them. That's desecration, return to Jerusalem. He didn't want that anyone worshiping there after him and forever. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as is written in the book of his covenant. They're going into judgment. Huldah said so. It's written. God, it's not, you're not going to turn this around. He's like, you know what? Maybe not, but individuals, are we going to turn this country around? It's going to be a good and godly country. I don't know if it ever was. Are we going to turn around? I would see one more great revival before God lowers the boom. I have friends of mine who saying that they feel like God has said that in so many words to them. He's never said it to me. That's all I can say. And as I look at it, I don't see it. It could be in the night. God could do anything. And it could be, because my whole thinking is revival or resurrection. Get us out of here. If we're not going to see another great turning to the Lord, and I'd stick around for that. There could be that after we're gone, of course, too. But I would volunteer to like, all right, let me be part of that. I want to see, you know, myriads of men and women and young people turn their hearts to the Lord. My heart aches to see that. I hope yours does as well. I hope you've been praying about that like I've been praying about that. Are we going to see that nationally? The whole country going to become the most godly nation on the earth? I don't see it. Are we going to stave off God's judgment? I hope so. That's my heart. I love America. At the end of the day, I'm a patriot like few you know. Well, like you are, probably. I love this country. I took an oath to protect it, constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. I wasn't a Christian when I took that oath. But now that I am it, I haven't renounced it or recanted. Oh, that's unworthy of a man of God. Oh, no, I think it's very worthy. In the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment to that Constitution is freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press. Sign me up. All of that. Anyway, let's keep moving. So I want a Passover. I want to sit and re-examine the Lamb and His blood and how He passed over us. And Passover is about salvation, of course. It's the night that God saved Israel with the blood of the Lamb. We need a Passover. I don't know. I'm not talking about a Seder, although that's fine. Look it, when you're barbecuing lamb, invite me. That part of it's fine. I have no issues with that at all. But I just mean remembering what the Lamb and His blood has done to secure our salvation. That's when we came out of Egypt. So we have to keep a Passover to the Lord in the sense of, remembering. I think we do that to a degree. It's not as elaborate as a chill of Israel, but isn't that what the Lord's table is all about? Lord, thank you for saving me. I understand again, anew and afresh, what Jesus has done to secure my eternity with him. Praise his holy name. But I think I don't want to go too far from Passover. I want to live that place where, you know, I never want to lose the wonder of it all. He saved us. Isn't that ridiculous? I don't know about you, but it is with me. There's no logical reason to. He loves you, you'll say. And I'll say, but he shouldn't. And you'll say, but he does. And I always wonder about that. And the rabbis say he loves because he loves. I guess I can live with that, but at the end of the day, I'm thinking, it's wonderful. It's amazing. The love of God is amazing. I don't know how else to say about that. I think we need, surely there was not holding such a Passover from the days of the judge. We need a national Passover. We need to remember what the lamb's blood means. There was not holding such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel. That's a long time ago. Nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem, moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards, so he's still cleaning house, and the images, and the idols, and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away that he might perform the words of the Lord which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. He discovered the word, he's obedient to the word, and it leads to all kinds of godly and good activity. Hardly needs any comment. A blueprint for our lives, surely. What does God say? Well, okay, well, that's what God says. That's what we're going to do. And that's it. And look, you know, we're in 1 Thessalonians, right? We'll be in chapter 4 for another week and maybe 2 weeks. What about chapter 5? Despise not prophesying, hold fast to that which is good. He gives a whole list of unqualified obediences. Abstain from idolatry, all these things that he wants us to do. Commandments. We have commandments in the Old Testament, we have commandments in the New Testament. The ones we really concern ourselves are ones that Jesus Christ gave us, the ones that Paul gave us. Like when it says, pray without ceasing. It's written. Let's do that. You know what I mean? So we'll get there when we get there, but okay, let's keep moving. The images, the idols, all the abominations. Okay, and verse 25. And like unto him, there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul, with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. How would you like that to be your epitaph? Notwithstanding. I hate words like that after a glowing reference like that. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. But he delivers Josiah. Has America provoked the Lord? Oh, my goodness. What a dumb question that is. Of course they have. Of course we do. But if I'm, and if you're righteous, and you love the Lord, and you don't be involved in these sacrileges, he knows who's guilty and who's innocent. Does he punish the innocent and the guilty together? Well, Abraham said, shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? That was already in play, even in Abraham's day. He recognized, okay, Lord, judge the wicked, we get it. But the righteous, remember when he was trying to get God to spare Sodom and Gomorrah if there was only 50 righteous? Well, let's keep moving. Shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah. Verse 27, the Lord said, I will remove Judah out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and will cast him off, will cast off the city Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house of which I said, my name shall be there. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? We'll go there briefly and read briefly. In his days, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up against the king of Assyria, and he wasn't going up, he was in league with, it's slightly a translational thing, he's in league with the king of Assyria, and they're going, and to the river Euphrates. Where's Euphrates? Babylon. They're going against Babylon, which is rising at this point. Nabopolassar is the general, as the king. He's got a young general named Nebuchadnezzar. After he defeats Pharaoh Necho in the Battle of Carchemish, he goes back to Babylon, finds out that Nebuchadnezzar, his dad, had died, and he becomes Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, that one, okay? In the days Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up against the king of Assyria, with the king of Assyria, to the river Euphrates, and King Josiah went against him. And he slew him at Megiddo. That's to say, Pharaoh Necho slew Josiah at Megiddo when he had seen him. Now, God had promised he was going to go down to his grave in peace. What happened? Is this God's version of peace, that he never saw that what he was going to bring against Israel? Or is he meddling where he doesn't belong? I'll let you judge that, because there's good scholars on both sides. I'll tell you what I feel personally. I feel like he's in a fight that he's not supposed to be there. And God's promise of protection doesn't extend to you outside of his will in a place where you're not supposed to be. Can he deliver our fat from the fire even when we mess up? Oh, yeah, welcome to my life. Yeah, probably welcome to yours, is what I think about it. Probably has, but he's not. I'm promising you peace, and you're going down in the grave in peace. How come I die violently in battle? Is that God's version of peace, or again, are you not in a place where you're supposed to be? His servant, and I'm going to read that in 2 Chronicles. His kings carried him in a chariot dead from Megiddo and brought him to Jerusalem and buried him in his own sepulcher. And the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him and made him king in his father's stead. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. 3 months. 3 months. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libnah. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Again, no good kings after Josiah. Let's read some more about Josiah in the book of the Second Chronicles. The chronicler will give us a little bit more information, and we'll be done with our study. We're not even going to finish that chapter. We'll finish that, and I think the book next week. Okay, 2 Chronicles chapter 35. Look at the verse 18 of chapter 35. There was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Again, right? That's the time of the judges. Samuel the prophet, the last of the judges. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. And the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, that's Pharaoh Necho, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates. And Josiah went out against him. But he sent ambassadors to him, saying, "What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day. And by the way, let him fight your battles." Babylon's a bad guy. Not only were Egypt's involved, not only were Assyria's involved, but also where Israel's involved, they're going into Babylonian captivity. Now's the time. Assyria's still something. They're not what they once were, but they're still something, and Egypt is something. Let them put their somethings together and beat up the new bully on the block. He's doing you a favor. What are you doing? So I don't think he belongs in this battle. And Pharaoh calls him on it. He sent ambassadors and said, "What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy thee not. Is that true? The end result is true. The end result is Pharaoh prophesying. Did God really send him? Some say that he has the Ark of the Covenant. It was hidden in Egypt at this time because of Manasseh. Is that true? Not biblically. We don't know that biblically. But he's saying, yeah, God told me. How did God tell him? Is the Urim and the Thummim? You don't know how, what. But he has a thing. He's got on a mission from God, and all of a sudden this king in Judah comes out against me. He's like, what is going on here? Hey, don't mess around with me. God sent me. Don't you understand that? You mess around, it's going to be the hurt. Was it? Yeah, he died. I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. Don't forbear thee from meddling with me, with God, who is with me. Does he have the ark? I don't know. That he destroy thee not. Nevertheless, oh, Josiah, come on, dude. I don't understand people who are always in confrontations or fight. I don't like confrontation. I don't like fighting. I go a long way to get out of a fight. And some people that, if they don't have anything to fight, they start a fight. I don't never understood them people at all. And Pharaoh Necho is right, is what he's saying. I don't know if God told him that. I don't know. But he's right. Don't mess with me. It's going to end up badly for you, and it does. Josiah would not turn his face for him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him. Because maybe Pharaoh Necho saying, you know, oh, he's the king. He's the king of Israel, and God's told me don't hurt him or whatever. But, you know, when Ahab went into the battle disguised, right? How did that work out? Like, God can't see. You put that little fake mustache on with the big nose and the horn-rimmed glasses, and God doesn't know it's you all of a sudden, right? God can't see through a disguise. So he went in and he disguised himself that he might fight with him, and he hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God. Is that remarkable phrase? Necho is speaking from the mouth of God to a godly king who should be able to listen and discern that. And he came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. Oh, how much mischief goes on there. And the archer shot at King Josiah. And the king said to his servants, have me away, for I am sore wounded. His servants therefore took him out of that chariot and put him in the second chariot that he had. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died and was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers. And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. He wasn't a bad guy. He made a mistake. And there's a difference. He wasn't like, I hate God, I'm not serving God anymore, I don't care what God says. I'm sure he didn't do that. I'm sure he didn't believe. But if he stopped and he prayed, if he brought the priest and said, is God in this? Is God? I'm sure God would have spoke to him. And I think God's promise is you'll go down to your grave in peace. Oh, you want to meddle in a thing that's not, well, I'm not promising you peace there. Listen, in the will of God, you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof if he wants you to be. No fear. Outside the will of God, oh, my goodness. Why? I don't even want to know what happened. I mean, you know what I mean? Not that I'm, everything I do is exactly the will of God all the time. Every thought, always, right? No. But I feel like God's, you know, Adam, don't go there. Don't put the gloves on. Don't enter the ring. I want to be like, yes, sir. Amen. Yeah. That's what you say. That's what I say. I'm not looking for a fight. Well, he looked for a fight, and it got taken to him, and it was bad. Okay, so we'll finish up. I think next week we'll finish up the book of 2 Kings. It's two chapters and a little bit of this chapter, but it goes pretty fast.